Shut up and sit down.
This is another Breakfast with Ben's podcast. It is our weekly fantasy sports podcast with Jeff Erickson of RotoWire. Glad that you're with us. The playoffs underway in the NFL, as you well know by now. The divisional round coming up. Jeff, how many leagues did you get in for the playoffs, and how'd you fare so far?
Not bad. I'm in three different contests. Two were snake drafts. Another one is the NFFC's postseason hold'em contest, which is a little bit different type of format there. One of them I'm doing really, really well, despite having the seventh out of eight picks in a snake draft. Had Barkley, that helped. I have Barkley, I should say, because it's continuing.
Yeah.
But I had Dak and Schultz, so that was pretty useful on Monday night as well. And you know, to get two games out of those guys is great. When you draft seventh, you're missing out on the top five quarterbacks. To still get that performance is pretty handy.
How about folks who were kind of in your shoes? I'm just wondering where the level of trust was in Brock Purdy. Where'd you find him going in a lot of these drafts?
He was one of the top five because it's team-based. You know, you're trying to – as you get him for multiple games. So, I think in the NFFC's postseason hold'em contest, he was only 9% rostered, and you have to have two quarterbacks there. So that was a pretty good return on investment, to say the least. If you used him in DFS – obviously, he did well because he was priced lower than the elite quarterbacks were, and he got the same sort of production. So, anybody that went with Purdy is feeling pretty good right now. Level of competition is about to step up for them. We'll see what he does against Dallas.
One guy that I wonder if it hurt people in leagues such as yours, I know it hurt me on a gambling aspect. I think we talked about this last week, was, and this guy was huge for me down the stretch when I won my fantasy league, was George Kittle. At tight end, and you know, just where the value is at tight end. And if you didn't want to take Kelce first because you wanted to, he was a guy that was going to wait a week on a bye. I saw the line for Kittle for yardage. It was at something like 43 yards, and he had two catches for 37 yards. And that whole game was agony for me, waiting for him to get just one more catch at any point.
Right.
And he never did. So I wonder if there was some value in the tight end position placed on Kittle where people got burned in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, what happened was Debo happened. We had a fully healthy Debo. And, you know, he turned those plays into big plays. All of a sudden, A, you don't need to throw to Kittle because the play, you know, the drive's over, the long touchdown. But B, you know, you get Debo in open space, you're going to get it to him first before Kittle if you can. And, you know, I think we talked about this a little bit earlier. Seattle messed up. I mean, there is that play in the second quarter. Seattle's playing pretty well. They twisted Debo's leg after a catch. And I think that just got them mad. You know, you don't twist the tail of the lion. Just classic mistake.
How do you think they're going to do this week?
They've got the long rest. The Cowboys have to turn around on short rest and stay on the road. I think it's going to be tough for the Cowboys. I've got the Niners covering the 3.5, and I've seen that actually go up to 4 in some places now.
Yeah, it's 4 where I saw it too.
Yeah, and I'd still be on the Niners, I think, even then. I think they're the best team in the NFC right now. If you're going to put Niners, Philly on a neutral field, I'd take the Niners.
Do you have, from a fantasy standpoint, a DFS standpoint, however you want to frame it, somebody that might stand out for the Niners this weekend? Like you said, because of Debo's injuries, it's been hard to lean on Debo. I know he was a weird guy for me in my fantasy league in the sense that he was good for me early, but late it was okay, he's hurt. But then when he was playing, sometimes I felt like I should have had him on the bench for other guys because he wasn't performing because the ball was going other places. You know, is he a guy that stands out against the Cowboys again, or is it somebody else? Is this a Kittle week?
I do think you raise a good point that the volume's hard to trust. But that's always going to be an issue, especially when you look at them. I mean, they've got three receiving options plus McCaffrey. Plus Elijah Mitchell's a darn good player too. A lot of mouths to feed. I think the safest floor guy for the Niners has to be McCaffrey, and I don't think that's any shock. I think you keep going to the well with Debo here. I mean, I think till they find that, I mean, he's such a dynamic player. I think he's going to be the next in line. I wouldn't sleep on Ayuk. I think he's still very capable of having a big play. We saw when Debo was out how good Ayuk was. So and that's the point. The Niners choose you to pick your poison. And can Brock Purdy recognize what they're choosing to do against you and pivot against that. You know, one of the big matchups we're going to watch is Micah Parsons versus Trent Williams, if he lines up on that side. You know, they, you know, Brady was under pressure the entire game, especially in the first half, though. Can they generate that same sort of pressure against the Niners? Can Brock, you know, because Brock Purdy, he was counting to seven Mississippi last week against the Seahawks. He won't have that luxury against the Cowboys, I'm guessing.
You mentioned being invested in the Giants and that paying off for you. How does that one go against the Eagles? The line is somewhere around 7.5. If I'm gambling on that one, I try to get it down. I see what the buy-in is, what the buy in the line is to get it under a touchdown. That's usually getting pretty expensive. But I could see the Giants hanging in this one, especially since it's a divisional game in a playoff format. Some of the guys that you got on the Giants team for your fantasy rosters, do you see them making a dent in this one and helping them keep it close?
Obviously, going against the Eagles is a lot different than going against the Vikings, who have probably the worst pass defense among all the playoff teams, and actually one of the worst deep pass defenses in the NFL. Yet, our entire staff, we did this thing called staff picks. There's five of us pick every game against the spread. We all took the Giants plus 7.5. I think seven's a magic number. We know
yes. Yeah. Yeah. Seven is, three is, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that the Giants keep it close. This is a different team than like when the Eagles played the Giants the first time in the Meadowlands. I'm going to still call it the Meadowlands, but in Jersey there, because, you know, I think the Giants are a lot more confident. I think they figured out something with Hodgins that he's a big receiver that can help him. Now, he was a little banged up in practice yesterday. We'll watch that one closely, but I think this will be a different performance. I think they're self-confident now, and Jones is 100%. He was a little banged up in that first meeting. I expect this to be a closer game, and I don't think the Eagles are the same shredding machine that they were. Will the 2 weeks off help? You know, maybe. That might be a big part of it. But Hurts didn't look like himself in his first game back in week 18.
One number that's been magic for me gambling-wise, either to play the line or stay away from the favorite, has been 10. Like, double-digit favorites in the NFL, to me, have been absolute red lights or green lights, depending on my perspective. You know, like, I'm not one that likes to throw money down on bad teams. I just don't feel good about it. I tend to go the other route. I tend to look for teams that I think are good, that are being undersold as underdogs, or teams that I think are good that don't have too big of a line to cover.
Sure.
But I did exercise caution a lot with big lines this year, and I didn't bet on the teams to cover like I should have, the underdogs, but I stayed away from the favorites. So I saved myself some money by avoiding bad bets on favorites with big lines.
This is a Chiefs comment.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going with the Chiefs-Jacksonville game on this one. Is this, because it's teetering? I think it's at 9 or 9.5 right now. If it gets to 10, is that a game where you would take the Jaguars because it's a 10-point spread, or no?
Yeah, I took them at 8.5.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, that's when we had to choose it. Now, I live in California. I'm not allowed to bet it, at least not by legal means. So, I picked the Jags plus 8.5 on this one here. I don't trust the Chiefs with any big line. I think they're what, like 1-6 favorite at home against the spread.
Okay, I was trying to figure out what over a touchdown. I thought it was like 2-6 or something like that.
Yeah, it's a wild number though.
I think whatever
team
we're
that's
about,
the number one seed in the AFC, usually this never happens. But, and, you know, they're a really good team, but they're a different team than they were last year. They're not blowing people out. Which is why, of course, in week 18 that they covered against the Raiders. But I don't think they'll blow out the Jaguars. They can. They're going to probably put up their share of points, but I don't think they're going to stop the Jags that much either. The big thing is Cam Robinson's out for the Jaguars, one of their better offensive linemen. He got hurt in that Thursday night game against the Jets. He's out for the season. What sort of havoc can Chris Jones wreak? You know, what can they do to get up on top of Jacksonville? Because if I don't see Jacksonville pulling any sort of comeback like they did against the Chargers, or that they did in some of their other games and down this stretch at the end of the year. They fell behind a lot of teams towards the end of the year. So that's the key. They have to get off to a better start. Assuming they can do that, it'll be a close game.
Is this a big Kelce game? Is it a Juju game? Do you see this as one for the running backs? How do you see, who do you see emerging?
It's absolutely a Kelce game. If you look at what Gerald Everett did against the Jaguars, tight ends generally against the Jaguars have done very well. So it's absolutely a Kelce game. By the way, Travis Kelce hasn't scored since November. Little known fact, but I think he does end that streak this week.
Last one, your Bengals. I like them at 5.5. I've kind of made the pledge to myself to see how Saturday goes before I make my bets for Sunday to see how invested I want to get in the games. But I do like the Bengals. I'm worried about their offensive line.
As is everybody.
Should I be worried enough that I go with the Bills?
So when I had to choose, it was still at 4.5, and I chose the Bills. And then that was the first of the four games, the strongest read I had, to be honest. The offensive line is a huge problem. The fact that Kappa and Williams didn't practice yesterday suggests that neither will play this week. If they're missing all three of those starting offensive linemen, with so little time to get used to each other and communicate with each other and figure out, you know, blitz pickups and stunts and that whole communication thing, I think it's a real problem. And we saw how much they struggled to move the ball against the Ravens late. And the Ravens, they have a great defense. But then they face a team that doesn't have Tyler Huntley at quarterback. Well, I think that's a problem. I the Bills were very sloppy in their own right against Miami last week. And the Bengals defense is pretty solid. But all these things concerned, I have a bad feeling about this. Maybe I'm flying too close to wearing my red and my black and orange shades on this one here. And I'm a self-hating Bengals fan, but I'm nervous.
Jeff, how about baseball? The return of Andrew McCutchen to Pittsburgh. What kind of a fantasy player is he going to be?
You know, he'll get playing time, especially if they subsequently trade Brian Reynolds, which has often been rumored. He's the type of player, though, now that can't play every single day. You know, he needs some time off here and there. I don't think that changes. He's not going to run as much as he used to.
They'll play him 82 games at home, or as many as they can, and then find spots to rest him on the road.
Probably right. Right about that. Yeah, he's a solid player. He's not going to be, he'll never come close to his MVP form, but you know, most people don't, you know, so it's not a grievous sin. But they've added a number of veterans this year, not necessarily stars, but veterans. They're filling up the playing time better this year, I think.
Who was it that I was reading about that Santana that the Pirates got? About how he was so impacted by the shift historically and how he's going to be a better fantasy player this year. Do you buy into that?
A little bit, yeah. I think a lot of these lefties, I feel that way. As lefties are particularly hurt by the shift more. The shift rule is interesting. And the other big rule, of course, is the base running rules, the bigger bases plus the number of throws over the first base. You're going to see more stolen bases this year. It's going to be a different type of game in that respect. They're hoping to see more singles, doubles, and stolen bases, more action. That's what baseball's trying to induce. The one thing they didn't do was do anything about the strike zone or just all the advancements pitchers have made in terms of velocity and movement and control. That's where everything starts. These changes will help offense some, but I don't think it's going to be as big an impact offensively total in terms of runs scored than I think that people are hoping for.
Jeff, what can people find at RotoWire this week?
So our baseball draft kit is up. We've got all of our projections, rankings. We've got constant features getting posted to the site. We just had a new prospect update. We got all of our regular football features, my value meter, our betting columns, you name it. Check it all out, rotowire.com/free, a little peek behind the paywall.
Jeff Erickson from RotoWire.